Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to It's a Thing, the podcast where we deliver sly with a wink, sometimes sarcastic, but sometimes painfully earnest commentary on the state of trends, fashion, food, and things we may have noticed while we were walking the dog.
Imagine my glasses fixed firmly on the end of my nose. And I am looking over them as I deliver my things to you.
Imagine an imaginary microscope with which we use to examine the universe and the sometimes futile machinations that we call human life.
That's right. It is not me in my pajamas letting the dogs out in the morning thinking, huh, that's a thing.
I wonder if that's a thing.
Or is it? Oh. Actually, we've been doing this for a long time, haven't we?
We actually have. You guys, this podcast began as a Twitter feed that I started in 2009.
Yikes.
I don't know why. I think I just wanted to, I think maybe I like to be right about stuff.
Happy 10 years.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's a Thing is 10 years old.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's a little intense. That's a really long time. It's weird to think that Twitter was around and that it could be fun. Like it was back then.
Oh, I remember those days.
When you could just tweet about things. Yeah. Observations about things that are a thing was the tagline then and still is. And then at some point around 2013, Tom and I decided, hey, we should totally turn this into a podcast because around 2013 was the time when you turned everything into a podcast, much like today.
Mm. Some That's things haven't changed.
That has not changed. And this is the point where we should note that Tom and I both decided, somewhat surprisingly and separately, to go to Hawaii at essentially the same time. I think we might overlap by a day.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So I'm at in the time-space continuum in which you're hearing this, I'm back, but he's gone. But we were both going to be gone. So we are making a special episode in which we get to brag.
And honestly, I mean, we could be all like sly, as we mentioned earlier, and set it up as like, let's check in on how we did. But we, and particularly you, did really well.
We did pretty well. I'm not even going to lie. Like, and I'm not going to lie. I did pretty well back in 2009 before Tom was in on this. But so what we decided to do was look back at old episodes and some of those early, early tweets that were usually, in some cases, just a couple of words or a couple of words and a link. Eventually, I wisened up about this whole internet situation and started adding links to the posts. That was a big innovation nice. On the It's a Thing Twitter feed. And then it became, as you know, a podcast that went from 2013 to 2014. Then we took a 4-year break like you do.
Yeah.
And we're back.
We're back.
But so what? With that, let's look back at hits and misses, things that we identified that were a thing, continue to be a thing, became an even bigger thing, and the, I'm just going to say it, rare instances in which we whiffed.
Yeah. No, there's a few misses just to keep us honest.
Just a couple. There's a couple. Yeah. Or things that were like a thing for just a minute, you know?
Or there's one of these that I'm like, oh, this still could. Like, it feels like it's just bubbling under. But yeah, we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Some things that might be a thing any minute now. All right. Let's see. Let's start with the congratulations. Now they always say congratulations because Post Malone is my thing right now because I am ridiculous.
You're a sunflower.
I'm a sunflower. I'm just saying that song Better Now is like such a good breakup song. It's like a Tom Waits level breakup song.
Nice.
Except way stupider and where you break up because of the benzo.
Right. I mean, modernized though. Tom Waits broke up for, you know, the drugs and alcohol of his time.
Right. Basically the benzo.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. I did not put these in any particular order, but I did start with some episodes. I just made a little list in our spreadsheet. So, I mean, in April of 2013, we identified whiskey.
I feel like really that wasn't already obviously a thing because it became such a thing. But I guess we were ahead of it.
I don't know. I mean, I almost want to look back. I wish there was a way to measure whether we were ahead of it or not, but man.
Well, we were at least on it, if not ahead of it.
We were on it because whiskey, in particular bourbon, like went on to be just an almost absurd thing. Like we were, you know, everybody was talking about the great bourbon shortage that could occur because of Brexit. Like, I wonder, like,
the Japanese bourbon makers, you know, reducing production was like headline news across the world.
It really was. It's crazy. Millennials in 2017, the New York Post reported that millennials drink a lot of whiskey. Whiskey sales in the U.S. were up, and bourbon in particular was booming because it's easy to drink, and we all know millennials like things to be easy. And not challenging.
There was a time when watching Mad Men with people drinking bourbon felt like, that's a throwback. And people drinking bourbon felt like, oh, I'm being like in Mad Men.
I wonder, actually. Well, and then cocktails, by the way, all of those things I said about millennials were a joke, mostly. But cocktail culture was definitely the upswing.
Yeah, yeah.
And took off right around then. And in fact, I think there was even, I'm doing a quick search. In 2009, actually, one of my early It's a Thing posts was cocktails. Like, cocktails are becoming a thing. And the culture just took over, and, like, whiskey and bourbon in particular.
I don't know if you remember. One year at CES, I carried around a recipe that I found on a website that I had printed out because it wasn't – this was before you could have your phone have a website on it. that was the original martini. It was called the Ford cocktail.
Oh, really?
And I kept trying to make bartenders in Vegas make this for me. And like a couple of them were into it, but most of them were like, I don't know. I guess I could try. Right. These days that I've seen that cocktail on menus at bars as the whole cocktail culture took off.
Interesting. In retrospect, I actually do wonder how much of it was related to Mad Men.
I wonder too.
Because
a little bit for sure.
In 2010, I tweeted that the watch my favorite show phenomenon was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could argue that Mad Men and The Wire, which was its contemporary, were those shows. Those became like a sort of a new tentpole type show and the whole new thing where it was like, oh, you have to watch this show. Not like the shows that we grew up with that everybody just watched by default, right? Because The Cosby Show was on Thursdays, and that's
just
what you watch.
Do you watch Cheers? Well, of course I do.
Right. There was none of this like, dude, you have got to watch the show. But around the time of Mad Men and The Wire, and actually the other examples I gave were Modern Family, Rescue Me, Lie to Me, which I don't even know what that is anymore, and Dexter, it just became this sort of thing to hear people go, let me tell you about the niche that I'm in, right? Let me tell you about my water cooler show. And that just led us into this new golden age of TV situation we're in now, where everybody is like, watch my show.
Mark Larkin, who ran CNET TV when we both worked there, was the one who's like, do you watch Mad Men?
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, no. He's like, you really should watch Mad Men.
hilarious.
I feel like we're at the end of that trend. Like, people are starting now to say, like, you know what? I can't watch everything. It's like books. You know, sure, recommend books to me. That's fine. But don't guilt me like, oh, you have to read this book. No, just we there are too many books to read. And TV is starting to feel like that. Like, sure, recommend good TV shows for me, but don't guilt me into it. There's too many to watch.
Oh, that's so interesting. You've identified a new micro thing coming out of that old thing.
Right. It's the cycle. We're in a new cycle of that old thing.
And we just have to... we just have to say no thank you. I will say my 2019 New Year's resolution, one of them was to watch The Wire. And I have been. And I'm on episode 10 as we're recording this because I had never watched it.
I don't remember what episode 10 is, so I can't say anything. But I
know,
love The Wire.
Don't say a word.
And I didn't watch it when it was new either. I came to it on DVD.
Nice. I remember
I watched like the first couple seasons on DVD from Netflix. And then it was like right at the transition point where I could finish watching it on HBO Go because I had DirecTV.
Oh, that's hilarious. And now you know where I watch it? Because it was on HBO. I mean, it must still be, but now it's on Amazon Prime.
Ah, is where I'm watching. Yeah, because Amazon got a bunch of HBO stuff. That makes sense.
Yep. And it's like remastered and stuff. In 2013, in one of our episodes, we talked about how kids reviewing things was a thing.
Yeah. No, we nailed that. We nailed that.
We crushed that so hard. I don't even remember which of us said it.
Yeah.
But it is amazing.
I think it must have been you.
Maybe because I had a kid, but they were doing like, and he's always wanted to be a YouTuber, so it's possible, but like they were doing unboxing videos of Legos. That was the big trend at the moment. But now it's just like, now Apple is sending products to YouTubers instead of mainstream outlets. That's how big a thing that became.
This kids reviewing things thing we were ahead of because it's in full swing right now. Like it's on top of its curve.
Somewhere there's a parallel podcast trying to be like, kids reviewing things is really a thing right now. We're like, you don't even know.
Yeah. Call us. 2013 called. They want their prediction back.
We warned you we were going to brag in this show. I'm just saying. We warned you.
We'll get to the misses at the end. We'll finish humble. We promise.
We'll finish on the misses. It's going to happen. But before that, July 2009, backyard chickens.
Yeah, backyard chickens. Has that really been a thing? I feel like I think you're right.
Is it a thing in your town? Because it is a thing in my town. Everybody has backyard chickens.
I do read about them. I don't have any in my neighborhood. I think that's my thing.
Oh, hold on. I'm gonna look up backyard chickens trend. I'm gonna do a quick duck, duck, go.
I definitely read about people like, I know what it is. I was like, something's niggling around in my head. I know what it is. It's my niece and nephew. My nephew and my niece-in-law, who live in Australia, have backyard chickens. And they're in their 20s, right? That's the people who do the backyard chickens these days.
Sunset Magazine did a story called Backyard Chickens. Is the Trend Real or Fake? And that was, hold on, I'm getting the date. But it's funny because in 2017, there's like the backyard chicken trend turns deadly.
Oh, no.
From CBS News.
It finally got its like local news tease. That's when you know a trend has made it.
Exactly. And there are a couple stories about how it was definitely spreading disease. I cannot figure out where I can't find the date on this Sunset story. So I'm not sure how long ago they were calling it a trend, but it definitely seemed to become a trend at a minimum until people started getting diseases from it.
Yeah.
But in Oakland, it's still a thing.
Everywhere.
I know. All right. Are you looking at this list? Can you see it? Food with an egg on top.
Also 2009. I wanted to say this was mine, but it's from the Twitter feed. You were, because I know I identified food with an egg on top later, but you were on it early in 2009.
Vanilla vodka, also from 2009, which mainly is more of a like, oh my God, flavored vodka became such a thing.
That's another one like whiskey where I'm like, really? There was a time when that wasn't a thing. Like it feels like that's been with us forever, and it hasn't.
Isn't that weird to think? And also, just a couple more from 2009, Mazda 3 hatchbacks. Dude.
Yeah.
That's
Do you
like
remember
the car
a time
year?
Before Mazda 3 hatchbacks? It existed.
Isn't that weird?
We
lived then. Wet cleansing towelettes. I don't know about you, but I basically use a towelette for everything now, like to clean the toilet, to clean my glasses,
you know,
to clean
what?
My electronics,
and I thought
my
that
face.
Was like, I guess that, no, every bathroom. We have two bathrooms, so I guess both, not every. Yeah. Both bathrooms have their own dedicated wet cleansing towelette, and then we have one in the laundry room as well.
Totally. I mean, I use them to wash my face. Like, they are there for everything now. Mm-hmm. And then I want to give us a shout out, because in 2013, in shades of one of the episodes we recently did, where we talked about the neon wave, we talked about ramen becoming a thing. Ramen was not a thing yet, or it was just like a baby thing.
How is that possible?
Dude, we crushed that. And also fluorescent colors, which really made me laugh because I was like, oh my God.
We were on fluorescence before they became a thing, and now we're on neon as fluorescents move into neon.
There's even one from around that era, 2009 or 2010 or 2011, that's pegged pants. Which I would have said until like 2 weeks ago, nope, that's a fail. Mm-mm, they're here now.
They finally arrived.
Pegged pants are back now.
Look at us. Yeah. Look at us.
Crazy.
All right. We've done enough bragging. It's time to talk about our misses.
It is. I'm not sure if this is a miss, actually, but I think it must be because I don't think it rose to the level of thing. Niçoise salads.
Yeah, I think we thought this was really going to become the next Chopped salad.
Yeah.
And it hasn't.
It just really hasn't. It's like too hard to say, or maybe people don't like tuna.
Near miss on that one. It had a mini moment where you started to see it everywhere, but then it didn't catch.
I didn't see any
Niçoise salad kits in the grocery store.
Right. Oh my God, that's totally it. Yeah, it just is not enough. It's not Brooklyn enough. I don't know if it's the potatoes. I mean, those are some weird flavors, like capers, potatoes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love a Niçoise, but maybe that was just wishful thinking. Five-toed running socks. Not shoes.
Yeah, not in socks. And again, didn't sputter out. I actually still see people wearing them. I think I saw it on like Terrace House or something recently. So it's still out there, but it's not a thing.
No, that didn't become a thing. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
I never wore them.
This one surprised me, having lived through the rise and abrupt fall. Rainbow looms. Those little rubber band looms.
Oh, yeah.
Those were like the biggest deal ever for 1 year.
They were the fidget spinner of their time.
They were. They totally were. And I think there might be a difference. This like made me think about, is there a difference between a fad and a thing?
Yes. Very good. I think fidget spinner is a fad, not a thing.
Yeah.
And rainbow looms was a fad. A fad is something that like burns bright and then doesn't stick around for very long.
Right.
A thing has a little more momentum than a fad.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it's meatier. I mean, and if you look at the list of things that we really nailed, like whiskey, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
wet cleansing towelettes were not a fad.
Those are not a fad. Those are like a life-changing. In fact, this is a good, I'm going to propose this to my editors at Marketplace, because that's a good story. Like, that is an economic story.
Yeah.
And I bet it's an environmental story too. Wet towelettes.
I would think so, for sure.
Yeah. Roundabout, I'm clicking the link to see when this was. Hold, please. Roundabout 2015, we thought that black sesame would be the new peanut butter.
That's the one that's just, I feel like, could still break out.
Is it coming?
Because I keep seeing black sesame trying really hard to be in things. To show up on, I've seen it on pizzas and like black sesame is really like, I'm going to make it someday. I really am. But it hasn't done it yet.
If you can make it there, you can make it. If you can make it onto a wood-fired pizza in Culver City, you can make it anywhere.
Right. Like it hasn't died, but it hasn't caught. That's the one I was saying. Like it's just bubbling under, but it hasn't ever broken through.
Interesting. So maybe it's still in a pre thing.
Yeah. Or it's just going to fade.
Hard to say. I wonder why.
What is this last one?
This last one is just a total whiff, and it really makes me laugh, which is wore a chauffeur.
I don't even remember what
chauffeur
that was.
Sandals. Oh. Granny sandals. They were like a super duper granny sandal. And for a little while, because there was a moment, and this is kind of back too, where it was like chunky sandals with wide legged pants, and there were these fancy like Swedish ones called wore chauffeurs. And I must have seen 4 or 5 women wearing them and just been like, oh God, this is a thing. Because you know what they look like is they look a little like Dansko, the Dansko clogs. And I really thought they would become a big thing, and evidently not at all. They're German. I don't know. That was just one of those random ones where I was like, nope.
That's the kind of thing where
nope.
I could see it. Like when you describe it to me now, even though I have no memory of them, like I could see why you might think like, oh yeah, this just has all the makings.
Yeah. Cause you just think like, oh, ladies in their funny Euro sandals. Like they just love a Euro sandal. Now you can find them on eBay for $6.
No kidding. That's funny.
$6. Definitely a miss.
Well, folks, we will keep on top of it. We will check back. We will swing back and do this again at some point. But I hope you enjoyed this. And again, we are pre-taping, so we apologize if anybody else has jumped in the pool in the last couple of weeks. But shout out to Chaz Watson and Mike Akins, who are at our It's Your Shout Out level at patreon.com/itsathing.
You guys are the best. Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who supports us on Patreon, patreon.com/itsathing. It means so much to us, and it inspires us to make sure that we have episodes for you every week and that we take photos of things. And hopefully we're going to be back next week with like a bunch of Hawaii things and slideshows, which is going to be awesome. And email us. Tell us your things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Tweet us your things. Tweet at It's a Thing if you want to. Otherwise, at Molly Wood or at It's Ace Detect. We want to get some more of your things on the show, because I, looking back through the Twitter feed, there were a lot of good things that came from you guys too.
Yeah, keep them coming, folks. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you next week.
Yay! See you soon. Bye. Go Super Bowl teams.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.